This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodi. When Ronwin Hagedorn decided to undertake a gap year in 2011, little did she know that 3 years, several work experiences and community projects later, she would be still at it. We ask her what inspired her choices and whether taking a gap year can serve as an alternative education. And she's here with me to share her experience. Welcome to the show, Ronwin. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show, Mira.
And you're all grown up now, aren't you? We had you on a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
On Children's Day, I remember you did a book review.
Yes, I did.
With our Shazmin, our previous presenter, and you were only 15. I remember you were only 15 at that time.
I came in with my school uniform.
Yes, you did. In your Bajikurung school uniform. And many years later, you finished Form 5 and decided to take a 3-year gap year. I mean, most people think about 1 year, and, you know, even 1 year, you have parents breathing down your necks that, you know, when are you going to get going to university? So when you first set off after SPM, what made you decide that you wanted to take this break?
I guess the main reason why I decided to take a gap year was because I wanted a break from school, and I wanted to do things that I couldn't do when I was in school, like get my drum circle facilitator mentorship certificate, and that requires like 2 weeks, and it usually falls during a time when people are having exams. So while everyone was having their exams, I was, you know, doing drum circles. And my parents actually really encouraged me to take a gap year. My dad took 2 gap years after he finished high school. He did landscaping and he pumped gas. Mm-hmm. And that actually motivated him to go back to university and get his degree. So I guess you can say it was kind of expected of me that I would take a gap year too. And I also got an internship offer after SPM to work for EHOMAKERS. EHOMAKERS is a nonprofit social enterprise, and they promote work-life balance using information and communication technology.
Okay, let's make this clear. Your dad is in Malaysia, is he? Because if I told my father I was going to go and pump gas, he'd probably kill me after SPM. John Hagedorn, of course, no stranger, does shows with Enterprise. And where does he come from again?
He's from the US, but a lot of people have the perception that a gap year is something where you go overseas, and the Western sort of gap year, the quote-unquote Western gap year, is to go to like an Indian ashram and pray for 3 months or or travel.
And find yourself.
Yeah, find yourself, you know. But it's really what you make of it. A gap year is really what you make of it. You don't have to do that.
So what do you think you've made of the last 3 years?
What do you think I've made of?
Yes, I mean, it's what you make of it. What did you make of it? Sorry.
What did I make of it? I did so much during my gap year, and I think an internship played the biggest part of it. And during my gap years, people had this perception that I'm on a gap year because I couldn't afford to go to college. You know, you get a lot of aunties who come and say, oh, mommy, daddy cannot pay for education. Or they thought that
I didn't. Bad planning.
Yeah. And they thought that maybe I didn't get a lot of A's in my SPM, or I was just lazy, or I just wasn't motivated in life.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, all of their negative comments made me even more motivated to do well during my gap year. Mm-hmm. You know, just to prove to myself that I'm better than what they say I am.
What did you want to achieve by the whole the 3 years? And I don't think you expected it to last 3 years, did you?
No.
Not at all.
I thought it was going to be like, okay, you know what? I'll finish. I'll start in January. Maybe I'll go back to school in August. And then I decided, you know what? Maybe I'll just extend it to the next year. And then after that, I decided, nah, you know, 3 years. 3 years wouldn't hurt.
3 years is a long time.
But time flies.
It does. It does. And I'm sure you have your classmates who almost halfway through university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does that upset you in any way?
No, it doesn't.
That you've,
upset
you know,
me.
You've been left out.
No, I don't think I've been left out. And the only times I feel left out is when they go out hanging out in the shopping mall or something, and I can't go because, you know, oh, sorry guys, I'm working in the office.
Yeah. Yes.
But you know, after a while you just think, oh, it's okay. we'll find some other time, and I'm doing what I love to do anyway, mm-hmm. so that compensates.
You do have plans to go back to university, don't you?
Yes, I do.
After the 3 years, what do you think? Did you know what you wanted to do after finishing SPM? Because a lot of children are in that dilemma, and they end up having to make a decision because it's time to go to university. And sometimes you really don't know. So then mummy and daddy jump in and sort of try and steer you in the right direction. And then you find you're not terribly happy. And, you know, it just goes on and on from there. So did you know what you actually wanted to embark upon?
Actually, when I came out of SPM, I wanted to do graphic design. And I went for a lot of crash courses on graphic design. And once I joined my internship, I realized that there is no way I'm going into graphic design, because in graphic design, you have to sit and stare at a computer screen for long hours. And I couldn't do that during my internship. My first few months were so hard because I hated sitting in an air-conditioned office environment. And after a while, I just got used to it. And during the 3 years, I think I've changed the course of what I want to study at least 3 times. I'll wake up one morning and decide, you know what, I don't think I want to do that anymore. And if I was in school, it would have been a very expensive decision to make.
Yes. For sure. And then after that, you would have had to rectify and, you know, do other things.
And I didn't want to go back to school for the sake of studying.
Yeah.
You know, people think that if you don't go back to school right away, you'll lose the motivation and the structure to study.
Are you all set to go back?
Yes, I am all set to go mm-hmm. back. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to going back to school. You know, people think, oh, you know, my next sem is coming up,
yes.
and I just had a 2-week gap. You know, oh, well, I had a 3-year gap. And I'm actually looking forward to continuing my studies, because I know that when I go back, I will put all my focus into it, because this is what I decided to do after 3 years.
What have you decided to do?
I was thinking... right now, I woke up and decided, hey, education might be a good idea, and community development. I actually initiated a youth project this year, and the project is called Project WHEE, mm-hmm. W-H-E-E, and exclamation mark. And it's where we send 30 young Malaysians, 30 youth, to Barrio in Sarawak to teach the local ladies how to speak basic English so that they can become... community guides, and we also do our fair share of community service there.
What sparked the idea?
This was actually under my internship, and this is a part of the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss said, "Hey, you know what? You should initiate a youth project." And I thought, "Yeah, I should." And so I applied to Dana Belia. And I won a grant, and I initiated the project. So it's in the process right now.
Okay. Has it taken off?
We are taking off the first batch of students in May.
Who will look after this when you go to university?
We don't know yet, mm-hmm. but hopefully another youth would decide to take it
over,
up.
Right. Yep. So this comes under the internship program that you have been attached to.
Yeah, but hopefully down the line we can actually detach ourselves and we can turn into our own little company, social enterprise.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It's my baby.
I'm sure it is, and you want to see it come through.
Yep.
Did you have challenges setting up the program?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And even today, we still have challenges, but it's all part of the gap year learning experience. I learned crisis management. You know, sometimes your plan A doesn't go through mm-hmm. and you have to have a plan B. And because we're dealing with some universities and companies, you have to learn negotiation skills, like how to write proper business emails, sponsorship letters, and you have to learn... I actually interviewed the students, the youth who are embarking on this journey too, and I was sitting at the interviewer's side of the table mm-hmm. where you are right now. And
which is a much easier position to be in.
Yeah, it is. And they actually thought I had a really scary interview face. But I learned how to ask questions. And sitting from the interviewer's point of view, I actually learn how I should act during an interview, whether it's for future employers or for scholarships. It was a really good experience. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So besides that, you also did something called eHomemakers.
Yes.
What's that?
eHomemakers actually does a lot of things, but when I joined, they started me from the bottom, and I did back-end admin work, like punching holes and photostatting, and then I graduated, and I'm still right now doing IT, which is completely off. I didn't know that I would be doing IT. They just decided, hey, you know what? You should do this. Okay. And I'm managing their online application, and so I deal with NGOs who use this application, and I actually train the NGOs how to use this application. So I'm training people who are much older than me, and you have to have a lot of patience, mm-hmm. because not all of them are not all of them know how to use the computer very well. So I just, you know, take a deep breath, calm down, Ronwyn, you can do this. and I just, you know, go through the steps again. And sometimes NGOs would also call up and complain about this application. So I have to learn how to like sit there on the phone and just listen to what they have to say and how to answer complaints.
Do you think everybody will be able to do this at your age? I mean, how old are you? 19?
19, turning 20.
20.
Yeah.
And fresh off, you know, Form 5, to have that maturity to go out and, you know, sort of seize opportunities like these and not be put off by it. I mean, to have to answer phone calls, to, you know, photostat. I mean, most internships require you to do that. But, you know, in some organizations, and even like ours here in BFM, when you come in, you do much more than that. In fact, we hardly send you to the photostatting machine. you really, you know, plunge into the work and, you know, get going with things. Mm-hmm. And but do you what sort of mindset, if you had good advice to, you know, school leavers as to the sort of mindset they should have when they go into organizations to intern, what would it be?
When fresh grads come out of university, in every life situation, you have to learn how to crawl before you learn how to walk, before you learn how to jump. Mm-hmm. And when fresh grads come out of university, they think that they must already know how to jump. And that's not true. And I think you have to build solid skills on basic skills. So anything they may throw at you, you do it with an open heart that you're learning something. Although it might seem stupid, mm-hmm. to you, but yes. It's actually all part of the learning process. And you read so many articles nowadays about how
Gen Y.
How companies
coming out
and why companies don't want to hire fresh grads because they don't have skills in the field that they study. Mm-hmm. And these are skills that you want to have while you are looking for a job, not skills that you want to have when you're not skills that you want to learn while you are on the job.
Communication skills.
How
important is that, Ronwyn?
Very important. You know, if you don't know how to look someone in the eye, then it kind of gives them a bad impression about you and also the company you represent.
And you went to national school, didn't you? So you speak English and Bahasa Malaysia very well.
Yeah, and Mandarin.
And Mandarin too. Yes, that is correct. How relevant was that in when you know over the last 3 years being able to speak three languages?
I think it's really one of my biggest assets. And working for eHomemakers, because we're a small social enterprise, and the fact that I was doing the online application, the NGOs would call up and they would speak in three different languages. So if you don't know how to answer someone in Mandarin, then you're going to have
to pass it on to someone else.
You have to be like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Bahasa Malaysia.
We all
underestimate the importance of that language.
Yes.
We think it's only enough for us to pass exams, but it is important. In what areas?
Especially for the youth, I think it's important because it's what makes you Malaysian too. And you see a lot of Malaysians who don't speak proper Malay and they go overseas and people think, wow, you know, you're from Malaysia. Can you speak Malay? No,
not
I
really.
Don't. And it kind of gives them like, oh, okay, they don't speak their own national language. And especially in Malaysia, if you want to get by, you really have to learn how to speak Malay.
Yeah. And of course, English goes without saying.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, helps a lot. We're discussing taking a gap year with Ronwyn Hagedorn. Ronwyn has actually taken a 3-year gap year. She's all set now to go back to university. 3 years is a long time. That's why I've decided to have her on. Very unusual. Most people take about a year or even less. Ronwyn has taken an extended 3-year gap year. If you have a question for her, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet to BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Ronwyn Hagedorn taking a gap year, or, you know, we're trying to figure out whether it has worked out for her over the last 3 years. Ronwyn is now going to go off to university. Have you decided when, Ronwyn, or is this still not very, you know, sure yet?
Well, I'm thinking about September this year, mm-hmm. but for all you know, something else could come up and a fourth year could end up.
That's a long time, Ronwyn. I mean, without having a goal, I mean, without having, you know, things cast in stone, should you or should you not? Or should you just remain flexible?
I think I should remain flexible, because if a good opportunity comes up, you know, are you really going to throw it away? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to just say, no, I have to go back to school?
Your definition of a good opportunity, what made you extend to the second year? Must have been a good opportunity.
Yeah, and why did I extend my gap year? Oh my God, that was like 3 years ago.
So we've gone through, the significant stuff that you've done. One is, of course, being involved in eHomemakers.
Yes.
You, of course, initiated the youth project, which was just very recently.
Yes,
The Barrier Project with the women there. And you also co-organized the Malaysian International Rhythm Workshop Festival. And that's something even your father's very, very passionate about.
Yes, it's happening this year.
How did that get you interested in wanting to develop further? And you are one of probably the youngest graduate ever who traveled to Scotland to receive your Drum Circle Mentor Certificate.
Yes.
Shed more light on that.
On what I did or how it felt?
Yes.
Okay.
And why? Yeah. Why did you bother, you know, to go up to a mentor level? Are you planning to mentor people going forward?
Yeah, I guess. But in my career that I decided now, I thought, okay, education and community development would be a good choice right now. And I would like to incorporate drum circles into my work, maybe teaching students English using drums. Mm-hmm. For all you know, the opportunities are endless. And I do think that drum circles are really one of my callings. And I'm wearing the drum circle shirt right now.
I noticed.
And
for those of us who are not terribly familiar with drum circles, mm-hmm. Would you like to explain that?
Okay. A drum circle is basically a circle with people playing drums. Mm-hmm. And I come in as a facilitator, and I facilitate a drum circle to get you from people who can't play drums to a percussion, a performance level percussion ensemble in less than half an hour. And we use this for team building. And I also run a kids rhythm class. And I just recently started doing drum circles for a new age center near my house. And these are all part of my gap year learning experiences, because I've never done a new age circle before, you know, the chanting and the crystals and the finding yourself people. Mm-hmm. And that was really stepping out of my comfort
zone.
Sounds
very hippie like.
Oh yes, it is very hippie like. Drum circles were actually, people think, are very hippie. Mm-hmm. But we branch out into health, we branch out into kids and elderly, so many different aspects to drum circles.
Right. And you said, so for teaching English using drum circles, how does that work? Is it just to bring people together first and then start incorporating, you know, or teaching the language?
Yes, that could work. And I haven't really thought about it yet, but I just want to find a way to incorporate drum circles into work.
Fantastic. So that's one major or terribly big achievement, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The youngest graduate ever for the Drum Circle Mentor Certificate. You also landed yourself some gigs to drum circles to earn some extra money. Yeah,
yes.
That brings me to the question of money. I mean, Did mummy and daddy, you know, have to keep giving you pocket money throughout the gap year? And to what extent were you reliant, or did you say, I want to be a little independent as well, you know? It's easy to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, it is quite easy once you think about it. But after I finished SPM and went on my internship, I decided that I would stop taking allowance from my parents. And my internship was giving me a steady income. And I draw shirts on plain t-shirts and I sell them online. Mm-hmm. And I also do my drum circle gigs. And so I was earning good money for a 19-year-old, if you have to say. And all of this went into pocket money for myself, you know, to go out with friends or pay for my car, pay for gas, and also to save up for university.
Fantastic.
And I'm at the point where I don't want to ask my parents for money, although I'm still living with my parents. But
that's okay.
But I just don't want to ask my parents for pocket money because I feel like, you know, you're already doing so much work for yourself and you should be independent. You're a big girl now, Ronwin. You can do this. You don't have to ask mommy and daddy for help.
Sure. So they are not the sort who constantly ask you, Ronwin, do you have money? Do you have money?
No.
Here you go. Yeah.
No,
if you need it,
like
then you go ask. Right. Very well done. Also, you took several free online courses.
Yes, and I did.
This is readily available. You can learn anything and everything you want now, mm-hmm. thanks to the internet. And you know, you took up something that's really quite different. It's called Dinosaur Paleontology.
Yeah, paleontology.
What does that mean?
This is actually one of the best courses I've ever taken in my life. It was 12 weeks of just dinosaurs.
You've I always
love
loved dinosaurs. Obviously,
oh,
yes.
My favorite animal. And it's like a biology course, but it was focused on dinosaurs. And I never really liked bio that much, but when it's focused on dinosaurs, I just went full in. And my notes consisted of drawings of dinosaurs. And they talked a lot about the different types of dinosaurs, their evolution, how they lived. And after the end of the 12-week course, I actually cried because it was over.
It came to an end.
It came to an end, just like the dinosaurs came to an end.
Right. But what are you going to do? I mean, did you do all of this concurrently, or did you decide to do them one at a time?
It really depended on my schedule. Right now, I'm doing Project We, so there's not much time to do online courses. But if I had more time, then I would do maybe two or three. I also took History of Rock and Roll, hence BFM is my favorite radio station. Mm-hmm. And my dad was actually my teacher on that, along with the course online, because he lived that generation.
Yep.
So he gave me all the music from that generation. And it was quite an eye-opening, ear-opening experience.
I'm sure. How much did your parents play a part in the success? I would say it sounds like a very successful gap year.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think they played a part in all of this?
My parents are the type of parents that don't want to spoon-feed me and don't want to hold me by a leash.
Yes.
And
hand-holding.
Yeah, hand-holding. And they... They just told me, do what you want to do, do what you love. And the subtle thing would be, if you burn your fingers, it's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a learning experience for me. And if I did have any problems, they would be there readily available for advice. So they did play a big part in my gap year.
It was okay to fall down.
Yeah, it was okay to fall down. You know, if you want to be successful, you have to fall.
Yes, of course. You have to fall.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think the earlier you fall, the better for you.
The earlier you fall, the better.
Going into a three-year gap, even 1 year, even 6 months, sometimes structure is needed every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, if you're not disciplined enough, you don't have a structure, you can fall into a trap where you start to become extremely complacent.
Right.
How did you make sure that didn't happen?
I wouldn't say it was a lack of a formal structure, but I think it was more of a different formal structure. In school, you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and you put on your school uniform, you go to school, you have recess, and you have your classes, you have your extracurricular activities, and then you have you go home, you do your homework, and you're free the rest of the day. But when you're doing a internship or when you're doing an office job, you wake up at 6-7 o'clock, and you have to decide what you want to wear that day. So coming from a school, you only had like jeans and t-shirts and baggy shorts, and that's not proper office attire. So that was a big switch. And you get to the office by maybe 8:30, and from there on, you're in the office until 6 p.m. and after. And what you're telling me, I can't go on Facebook every hour, and you're telling me I can't chit-chat with my colleagues. Mm-hmm. And in school, I can say I was quite popular. I won Student of the Year, and I was president of many clubs. And I went from a lot of people that I could say hi to and communicate to just six of us in this little social enterprise office called eHomemakers. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a big adjustment for me, but after a year or so, I got used to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also needed time to play, of course. I mean, it was not all about work. How did you manage that? I mean, going out with friends and, you know, you're young, you're 19, you should be living that sort of life. You're not going to get that coming by your way all the time. So did you also make time for that?
Yes, I did. I had a planner. I still have a planner where I would jot down, okay, I have time here. All right, I can go out with friends. And that's what weekends are for anyway. I think one of the phrases I use a lot is, let me check my schedule, mm-hmm. because I'm so busy. But it feels good to be busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels productive to be busy.
Yeah, it feels really productive.
But not all of us have that ability of planning, scheduling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sometimes, as regimented as it sounds, that's the only way it's going to work.
But I think you get used to it too.
You do. I mean, I had one CEO who came on and said, you know, and I said, how do you manage work and time and home? And she said, I actually schedule in time with my children. Because mm-hmm. if I don't, it will never happen. I thought it was over the top at that time, but you know what? It works.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. So what was your biggest takeaway, would you say, over the past 3 years? What would you like to leave us with the whole three-year gap year?
I think it's kind of hard to pinpoint what is the biggest takeaway because I've learned so much during my gap year. And I guess I would say, as cliche as it may sound, life is short. And you have to really live your life to the fullest. And I want to do something in work that I really love, you know. And the people I met during my gap year were just amazing. The people in Scotland or the people in NGOs, they become your life mentors because they're obviously older than you and they live different. They traveled different paths, and you learn so much from these different people. And so I brushed up on a lot of my skills, and I also learned a lot of new skills that I probably couldn't have done if I was in school. So I just want to say that if you can take a gap year, you really should. And it doesn't matter if you are late in education, and education should be available to everyone regardless of age. And the Chinese saying is 活到老学到老, live until old, learn until old. And even if you're out of school or you're in school, you have to still continue learning. I didn't stop learning. You know, I've learned so much in my three gap years.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you so much, Ronwin, for having me on.
Ronwin Hagedorn talking to us and sharing her three-year gap year experience on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.